The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
And tonight I wanted to introduce an idea that I heard from Joan Halifax. She's a Zen teacher in New Mexico. She has a Zen center called Upaya. And she talks about this practice of strong back, soft front. Strong back, soft front. And I like this. I like this idea that it's both can be like a physical metaphor in which kind of like a strong back helps us to not collapse, helps us to stay upright and to stay balanced, and gives us the capacity to hold ourselves up. And then the soft front is kind of the warm-heartedness, the loving-kindness, the compassion, and so be able to meet whatever is arising, to meet some of the difficulties, meet the beauty, without being put off balance, because the strong back is helping keep us upright. So this is a metaphor, but in some ways it's also a way in which we can practice. Of course, with the body and the mind influence one another, or maybe we could even say they're not even separate. So this allows us to sit upright, or if our posture allows us, sometimes for some people, you know, to lay down is what they need to do, but to sit in a way in which we feel grounded and a certain amount of dignity and uprightness and alertness, even though there might be, let's just say, vexations that are happening, even though there might be difficulties, even though there might be suffering, even though there might be a lot of dukkha going on. So, and then to have our chest to be open, the belly to be soft, so that we can be open and soft to what's happening. We can be sensitive to what's happening. We can care about what's happening. So not so we have this uprightness, but not in a way in which we've armored ourselves and that we've completely closed ourselves off, but in a way that is supportive, both literally and figuratively. So this balance between a soft front and a strong back is a big part of one way we might use to describe equanimity. This equanimity is a practice of staying balanced and spacious and in face of difficulties. And even, you know, helps us to not get carried away, even if things aren't difficult, even if we're feeling lots of love. Sometimes it can tip into attachment, or because I love you, I really want to take care of you and make you do these things or something, or I don't know. So equanimity, this having a strong back, helps us to not tip into conditional love, or help compassion not tip into suffering, our own suffering. So the distinction I'm making between loving kindness and compassion is that, you know, loving kindness is just this general goodwill for oneself, for everybody. And then compassion is this general goodwill plus this little bit more specific wish to ease the suffering, wish to make the difficulties be less, this desire to have it be that the individual oneself or even the situation isn't filled with stress or difficulties or whatever it might be. So this goodwill, or actually I heard somebody describe it. I thought this was cute. It was if loving kindness, metta, and difficulties, dukkha, if they had a love child, it would be compassion. But I don't know why, it's some kind of silly, but I kind of like that. So metta and dukkha, for those of you who care about these things, the Pali word for compassion is karuna. So, and just in case you might be in an environment that is having a little bit of difficulties, or you're watching some difficulties unfold, or you're experiencing them yourselves, equanimity is a way that can help us without closing us off. So I'd like to do a guided meditation here. We'll do a little bit of compassion practice and a little bit of equanimity practice here. So with that as an introduction, we can come into some, to sit and see if there's a way in which this idea of strong back, soft front, is there a way that that can be embodied? Is there a way it can be experienced? Can you like settle into your sitting posture that's comfortable, yet with some alertness? You can relax the shoulders. Relax the eyes and the jaw. Relax the back. I'm saying the word relax, not with this idea that you have to do something or force it, but it might be just bringing your awareness is sufficient. We can bring attention to the chest. Is there a way in which it might be a little bit more open or soft? In the belly, can we relax the belly? And feeling the pressure of the chair or cushion against the body. Feeling connected, feeling grounded. And just in general to be sitting and know that you're sitting. and to breathe and know your breathing. If the mind wanders, you just very gently, simply begin again. Feeling steady as best you can. Being with the experience of breathing. Can you be with the breath in a warm-hearted way? That is, when you notice that you're lost in thought, just very gently, with care, with kindness, begin again. And then to begin a compassion practice, you can think of a situation in your life that is difficult in some way. Not the most difficult. Might involve someone you know, might involve some political process or situation. It should be something for which you can generate compassionate feelings. Maybe you had some difficult situation with driving, whatever is troubling, and you feel like you can have some compassion, you can have some warm-hearted care. So can you bring this difficult situation to mind? was feeling connected to the chair or cushion, and at the same time, contacting the difficult situation. And to have some warm heartedness, some care. Can you generate some compassionate feeling? That is, this wish that if it's a person, that their difficulties may end. Or maybe it's a little bit more general. Maybe it's for yourself. Some people like to use phrases to express this movement of the heart. It's helpful to use phrases that are meaningful for you. It can be creative. These are phrases I like to use. May you be free from suffering. May you know peace. May you be free from suffering. May you know peace. Can you hold this situation or person in the field of these compassionate wishes? May you be free from suffering. May you know peace. Notice the feelings of care and warmth out of which these phrases come. If you feel like you don't have compassion for that situation or person, then is there another situation or person that's easier at this time to have some compassion? Maybe it's for yourself. May I be free from suffering. May I know peace. Can you tap into that wish for the suffering to end? The desire to help the suffering end. May you be free from suffering. May you know peace. And if you notice any sense of withdrawal or overwhelm or pulling back, we can bring in the intention to balance the compassion with equanimity. Remembering that we don't control all the circumstances of the situation. Often the circumstances aren't up to us. Can we sit with a strong back and a soft front? Breathe. And if it's helpful, we can do a little bit of equanimity practice. Some phrases we might use are, things are as they are. May I be at balance and at peace. Things are as they are. May I be at balance and at peace. And as you come back into balance, you can reconnect with the difficult situation and do compassion practice. May you be free from suffering. May you know peace. In this relaxed, easy way, we can go back and forth, or maybe even if we feel ourselves overwhelmed, too many words, too complicated, can always come back to mindfulness of the body or of the breath. May you be free from suffering. May you know peace. Can you have a strong back and a soft front? Again, if you feel overwhelmed or withdrawal or doesn't feel like this is the right practice for you right now, you can always do equanimity practice to help bring into balance. To help us hold the situation with spaciousness and discernment. Equanimity phrases that you might use include things are as they are. May I be at balance and at peace. connecting with the warm-heartedness, the care, the intention of goodwill and alleviating suffering. Whatever form of suffering it might be. Sometimes staying connected with the body can be great support. For compassion and equanimity. Allowing any feelings of warmth or softness in the body to be a support. Any feelings of strength or steadiness or balance to be a support. May you be free from suffering, free from difficulty, stress. May you know peace. then to end this meditation, feel your feet on the ground. Feel the pressure of the chair or cushion against your body. And when you're ready, you can gently open your eyes. So this idea of soft front, strong back, which we can be upright but not closed off, can support us to send some compassion, maybe some loving kindness, without getting overwhelmed or getting contracted or falling into, collapsing into, sliding into overwhelm or difficult days. And in a simple, easy way, we can just use different practice. I'm using these, calling these different practices, but in some ways they're just one practice. So maybe it's a little bit of compassion, then you feel like some overwhelm, and then you just go over here for a little bit of equanimity, then come back over here and to compassion. Or if it feels like it's just too busy, some people use for equanimity practice, just coming back to mindfulness of the body, just really being with the felt sense of what it's like to be at this moment, to be experiencing this. So now I'm gonna go into some breakout rooms, and we'll have an opportunity to talk about what is it like to do compassion and equanimity, to go back and forth, maybe to share some phrases that you use that you like, or to just to share what that meditation was like for you. Kathleen writes, the metaphor is intriguing. However, my understanding, the body meets the front and the sides. Yes. So, right, the front, of course, doesn't exist without the back. And, of course, the back doesn't exist without the front. So it's not like a perfect metaphor, but maybe it's a way to show about how to have some steadiness, some uprightness, and yet have some softness. So you're welcome to play with it in any way that feels helpful, including just discarding it if it's not helpful. Okay, so we'll meet for 12 minutes. And let's have the person's, the last digit of your favorite phone number or the phone number you use the most. So for many people, it's their cell phone, but not for everybody. Some people, it's the landline. And the last digit. And I'm going to say zeros can be less than one. So we'll say zeros go first, if they're before ones. Okay, have fun. Okay, so welcome back. Would anybody like to comment or question or something?
I would. So I you know, there are four abodes, right? Compassion, metta, sympathetic joy, and equanimity. And we definitely don't seem to practice them in equal parts. So why?
Yeah, that's a good question. I would say, I guess for me, I would say that because loving kindness is kind of like a foundational one. So I tend to focus on this, that if we have some loving kindness, then we can you know, when loving kindness meets joy, it turns into sympathetic joy. When it meets pain, it turns into compassion. But I think this is a good question. Maybe we should be practicing more some of these other ones. Do you have some ideas, Neil, why I think I'm not alone in doing it this way? Or what do you...
Well, yeah, I don't think you are.
Do you have some... It's said that the most difficult one is actually sympathetic joy, to feel happy for others' happiness without any envy or feeling like that. So this is a good point.
I would definitely agree with that analysis.
That sympathetic joy.
Yeah, it bothers me so much that I can't feel more enthusiasm when things go well for you. I feel this, you know, I should, quote unquote, be able to feel that it's not happening for me.
Yeah.
For me, sympathetic joy is really easy. The one that's very difficult for me is equanimity. I am easily just swept away by the storm. Mm. And I wish I was kind of more grounded and I could see it go past, but not be sort of dragged by it. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely.
We were talking in our group about values and how that can be helpful in knowing, supporting the balance of the soft front and the strong back as sort of a grounding element, living by universal values of supportive of humanity.
Can you give me an example, Gita, what you mean by values?
Kindness, for example. So the very basic, no harm.
Yeah.
Kindness to oneself and others, particularly, like in equal ways. And that can be supportive in knowing what true balance is, rather than being strong in a way that feels not in tune with your own personality, or in a way that is probably exaggerated, and equally with the softness. So it goes both ways, but it's just to support the balance and being grounded by those basic values.
Nice. Thank you. Yeah. And grounded in ethics, non-harming, like you said. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. You can call it ethics. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Thank you. Okay, so I know this is a difficult time in the United States. And it's this work that we're doing, this practice that we're doing, is so important. This is exactly what the world needs. The world needs people who are tuning into their hearts, cultivating the qualities of their heart, who are exploring compassion, equanimity, loving kindness, sympathetic joy, and, you know, leaning into or tuning into, as opposed to just being reactive, as opposed to just shutting down or getting inflamed or getting impatient, or, I mean, there's so many different reactions, right? So I have so much respect for all of you for practicing and coming here. Thank you. It's very meaningful, actually, to have people come together in this way and to do this practice. So if I can, maybe I'll invite you all to unmute yourself and we can say goodbye and send good wishes to each other. Bye. And thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I love you all. I'll see you tomorrow.
It all gives us hope.
Enjoy your retreat.
Thank you, Diana.
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Diana J.
Thank you. This is the stuff that gives us hope, Diana.
Yes, I'm happy to. Goodbye. Yeah.
Thank you. Be well.
Have a lovely
Thank you.
Oh.